MDRadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? Well, I know that you are, and I know you know that means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and we are here on Code Delicious, brought to us by our friends at Real Salt. Now, if you love to cook as much as I do, and we're going to be talking about great recipes and flavors on today's show, I got a question for you. Is your salt real? Take a look at that ingredient panel. Even if you're using sea salt, you might be surprised by what's inside. Fillers, anti-caking chemicals, some even have dextrose, which is a sugar. So we talk about real food, authentic flavors, wholesome ingredients. Hey, you want to make sure your seasoning is on par with that. Real salt is mined from an ancient ocean back in the days when the world was younger and probably a lot healthier than it is today. So head on over to realsalt.com, put Dr. Mike in the coupon code, or check out your local grocers for Real Salt. And I am delighted to welcome to the program this morning Judy and Shari Zucker, the Double Energy Twins. They are best-selling authors of a number of books, including their most recent, The Memory Diet, more than 150 healthy recipes for the proper care and feeding of your brain. Goodness knows I need that. They both have degrees in nutrition and physical education from the University of California in Santa Barbara. They're media favorites. You've probably seen them on television. I know that you have because they've been on The Today Show, Home and Family. They contribute to Family Life magazine. They lecture all over the country, and they also have their own YouTube videos. So without any further ado, because I need to get smarter, so I've got to start the conversation. Ladies, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So I got a question. It seems like you guys got into the author business at an incredibly precocious age. So I've got to start there. When did you get into writing cookbooks, and how did all this come about?
Well, this is Judy, so we're going to go back and forth, so I'll let you know who's talking first. But basically, we got into this when we were very young, like you said, when we were 16. Our first book was published, How to Survive Snack Attacks Naturally. And we were very health conscious because we were running cross country and track in high school, and we realized certain foods gave us more energy than others, so we started experimenting, which was great because our mother was a huge inspiration for us. She was a horrible cook, and so we started doing it as survival.
Oh my. And so you started noticing that things gave you different energy levels. So I've got to ask, you know, so a lot of people would say, oh, well, I guess, did you tend towards things that were rich in sugars? Because a lot of people will get and feel sort of a high when eat things high in refined sugars. But your focus is like 180 degrees from that. So is that something that evolved, or did you hit on that right away?
Well, we hit on it right away. When we were 16, 17 years old, we realized when we had really sugary foods with our friends, like we went out and we would go, we became vegetarians at 11, okay? So we were already pretty health-oriented in that aspect. So we'd go to the McDonald's where they'd say, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, we hold the meat. And so we would sit there and we would eat these foods kind of junkitarians and realize that we weren't getting the energy that we really needed. And ironically, when we started changing our diet around, because our mother was such a horrible cook, which is really true, I mean, her specialty was like burnt toast, we took all these cookbooks that she never used, these Betty Crocker cookbooks, and we started revising recipes, taking the sugar out, putting natural maple syrup or honey or something more of a natural source or fruit sweetened. And then we started realizing, wow, we're really feeling good, so good that when we started running cross country and track at Beverly Hills High School, we broke our own records 5 times in the mile and 2 mile, and we ended up holding the record at Beverly Hills High for over 34 years.
And so, wow.
Wait a second. You're dating us.
Yes, that's true. Okay. We don't want to.
She meant 3.5 years, because,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, so Shari's right. We definitely started using no sugar, honey, raw honey, maple syrup, pure sweeteners, and they tasted better and we felt better and had more energy. But it was more than that, too. We also started to take out all, as you say, the white stuff, the white flours, the white sugar, the white, all the things that were really refined. And but it has evolved, though. Since we wrote our first book when we were 16, and now we have written our seventh book, The Memory Diet, more than 150 healthy recipes for the proper care and feeding your brain, it's evolved a lot. For example, we don't really use gluten or wheat flour, which is not really that good for the brain. And so we even talk about that in our book. And once again, though, it's gone full circle. Unfortunately, this is not so funny, because our mother is our inspiration, because she has dementia, and we were determined.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
We were determined to figure out a way to help her, because with no known cure and over 47 million people worldwide that have Alzheimer's and dementia, and 5.4 million in the United States alone, this became a mission for us, and we studied and researched for 2 years. Before we wrote this book and came up with delicious recipes, but based around what we call the seven brain-boosting foods and also the MIND diet, which is M-I-N-D. It's the Mediterranean Intervention Neurodegenerative Delay diet, and it's from Rush University out in Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. And they found that by following a certain diet, you could reduce your risk of Alzheimer's by 53%.
And I think a lot of people don't appreciate, particularly when we talk about chronic type of illnesses. You go out, you run a track, you twist your ankle, you go get an x-ray, you ice it down, etc. You know, people can relate. And certainly, being a bit of a history buff, and one of the histories of my own professions in terms of medicine, Western medicine really evolved as sort of a battlefield medicine. You know, somebody breaks a leg, somebody gets a cut, we stitch it up, we figure out what's going on. But when it comes to the chronic types of diseases that you're talking about, which Alzheimer's is a sort of chronic neurodegenerative disease, cardiovascular disease, atherosclerosis, although a heart attack can occur out of the blue, if you will, the process by which we reach there is many, many years in the making.
Right.
I don't think people appreciate the impact that diet can have in the prevention of these things. And you mentioned the Mediterranean diet, which is, you know, one of my favorite pivot points and a culture. In fact, my new book just came out, Ancient Eats, and one of the diets we look at was the original Mediterranean diet, that of the ancient Greeks, and kind of what is there. So kind of a correlate. You guys have kind of finished it up 2,500 years later. So folks should get a couple of ETH and get each book and get the perspective there. But what is the similarities in the MIND diet approach, and then what are some of the differences when folks think about the Mediterranean diet compared to the MIND diet?
Well, that's a really good question. And basically, when we're talking about the MIND diet, which does incorporate the Mediterranean the aspects of the diet, it eliminates these basic things. Meat, you know, raw meat, and saturated fat, sugar, processed foods, and alcohol. So you have to eliminate the cheese and the butter in there as far as the saturated fat.
Pastry.
And like Shari said, this reduces one's chances of getting Alzheimer's by 53%. This was a study over 9 years at Rush University. And so, but we took this MIND diet and we put it, like fused it with a plant-based diet. And this has really helped a lot of people. The feedback we've gotten on our website,
but Mediterranean diet is the green leafy vegetables, the nuts, the berries,
right,
the beans, the whole grains, and olive oil. Because and Mediterranean diet has that aspect of using olive oil, which is so good for you, because for so many years, last 20, 30 years, we've been on this no fat, no fat, no fat diet. And now we're realizing that we are a more obese nation than ever, and yet we've been on this no-fat, low-fat diet. And there are certain fats, and all fats are created equal. Certain fats are really good not only for the heart and the body, but for the brain. And olive oil is one of them. And
well, you bring up a great point, because people don't realize that the brain, we're all fatheads.
Right.
The brain is mostly fat. And you talk about, you know, neurodegenerative conditions. Well, and again, you talk about, for example, the use of cholesterol. And I talk about in my previous book, Fallacy of the Calorie, the disconnect between the consumption of dietary cholesterol and blood lipid profiles. And when you look at the utilization of cholesterol, for example, what you find is it's got to be incorporated into the myelin sheath. And those are the cables that connect our neurons so they can talk effectively to each other.
Absolutely.
So this whole thing about fat, you know, you're absolutely so right in that there is such a difference. You know, it's not just fat. There really is a difference in the quality and quantity of types of fats. And a lot of that depends, I think, on the quality of where we get our food. You know, the heavily processed, adulterated food products, you know, versus what nature provides for us. So I love what you're talking about with the mind diet. And again, nuts, I remember, because I'm going to date myself. You ladies will not, because you are much, much younger than me.
Oh,
but I can
you.
Remember as a cardiologist, you know, when we, oh, gosh, you can't eat walnuts, folks. They're rich in saturated fats. You know, we can't have this, can't have that. And now we find out, and you're telling me that one of the things in the mind's diet, along with the olive oil, are natural, healthful fats, like what we might find in, like, walnuts or some other nuts.
Right. And, like, even, for example, coconut oil. It has what's called medium-chain triglycerides, and they break down into ketones, which are an ideal brain food. And they found that in the brains of people that had Alzheimer's, they had really low levels of ketones. And you're absolutely right about the nuts and seeds, because so many times we hear people talking about the omega-3 fatty acids, which are so important for the brain, the body, the heart, that have the DHA and the EPA. And diets with omega-3s have a 26% less chance of developing dementia and help with depression and mood swings. And so many times we're told, well, you got to get it from your fish source. You got to get it from your fish source. We believe very highly in a plant-based diet. You can get these from your plant-based foods, your nuts, your seeds, your grains, sesame seeds, chia seeds, sunflower seeds, flax seeds, walnuts, almonds, cashews. When you eat a diet that has a lot of fish in it, I'm sorry, but our waters are polluted, and especially the larger the fish, the more mercury you're getting.
Or if it comes from China.
Well, yeah, definitely. Or farm animals.
That's right.
It's really bad.
Well, you you bring up another great point. I love having you guys here, because you've actually woken my brain up.
Energy here.
You are. I could feel it coming in over the airwaves. And
woo!
And for example, when we alter the diet, and there was a great study done a couple years ago, and I got to tell you, you know, I was really surprised this didn't get much more play. But when they were farm raising the salmon, and they changed the diet of the salmon into the, you know, sort of industrial feed.
Yeah.
And then they looked at the salmon. What they found was that they completely changed the type and the quantity of the different kinds of fats, and it began to resemble the industrial sort of corn-fed beef that we get. And there was another great study, I think it was spring or a couple months prior to that, but fairly recently. And it was in a British journal where for the first time they looked at meat. So you recommend plant-based, but if people want to incorporate, you know, meats alongside of that, there is a huge difference in the omega-6 to omega-3
right.
ratios in different meats, depending on how they're raised, even among the same species. So in New Zealand, Australia, where they're pretty much, they let cows do what cows do, like walk around and eat grass,
right.
versus the grain feeding, very high in omega-3s in the New Zealand lamb, in the Australian beef. You looked at the U.S. offerings, zero.
Well,
like, zero.
With that, too, unfortunately, animals is the unnecessary medication, the antibiotics, the hormones. So if somebody wishes to eat meat, we really recommend they reduce it as much as possible, but try to get it grass-fed,
antibiotic,
hormone-free, organic. You know, that's, we really stress that. It makes a difference.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. You guys are spot on. And for folks that don't know, and again, I know you talked about cutting down some of the cheeses and the dairy, but if people are incorporating any of that, you know, this country drives me crazy with the regulation. I don't know how you guys feel about it, or lack of. But they don't have to label if the cows get recombinant bovine somatotrophin in this industrial produced butter. So you have to get a brand, as you point out, that's labeled organic so that you know that you're not getting hormones. Or I believe there are some imports from countries like Ireland where that's just not prohibited. So if you're getting some imports, but you'd have to kind of check it on a brand by brand basis. So tell me a little bit about what you mentioned, plants. What are the kinds of foods? What can folks expect to eat? Your recipes look absolutely phenomenal. So if you want to share one or two of those with the listeners, you know, we'd love to hear, you know, what we can look forward to eating.
Well, okay. Well, just some of the recipes in the memory diet, I mean, are like black beans, cilantro, and chili dip. And it's delicious. Cilantro is great for the brain, too, and great for the body. It actually has been known to pull out toxins in the body, and such as mercury. And black bean and sun-dried tomato dips, there's some of those kind of dips. I'm going to have for lunch today our cool coleslaw that is filled with cabbage and fresh lemon juice. It's delicious. And ginger sesame carrot salad is wonderful. And we have excellent, excellent different recipes. Now, you know, we believe in buying seasonally, too. For example, right now, pumpkins are very in. So we have a great pecan pumpkin muffin that's gluten-free, sugar-free, and also is dairy-free. So it's really wonderful. All the recipes, like we said, are plant-based. But when we talk about this, we also talk about just little things, like we can go through the 7 brain-boosting food groups if you'd like to, but also how important supplements are. And we don't believe in taking a ton of supplements because hopefully if you're eating organic, local produce, and we recommend people going to their farmer's market because then they'll get seasonal and they'll be more enhanced, the flavors and also the nutritional value of it. But there are great antioxidant, anti-inflammatory seasonings like turmeric we use in the book, because you were talking about salt, and you were so right at the beginning how important it is to get like sea salt or kosher salt or salt, like the products that you have and recommend, that are free of dextrose and different fillers. And ginger and cinnamon is great. And green.
That's Judy. Judy's talking about one of the 7 groups, which are the brain spices. So maybe she wants to go through all 7 first.
Yeah, is that okay if I go through the 7 brain-boosting food groups with you?
Yeah, that I think that'd be great. And what I wanted to highlight for folks, because that philosophy and what you're emphasizing is very much in line, actually not from any kind, although there certainly is a tremendous health benefit, but simply, you know, as a professional chef, it's about building flavor profile. That's how you get the delicious food. And it's what you're talking about, which is using herbs and spices, real seasonings like real salt. Head on over to realsalt.com, folks, and put in Dr. Mike so you can get your discount there. But it's about building these layers of real flavor. And I think in Western American, the standard American diet, also known as the SAD, as I'm sure you're aware, appropriately, an appropriate acronym, it's built on hitting our pleasure centers in terms of sugar, salt, and fat. And we're built to crave those. But if we can get in and break that cycle with the recipes that you're recommending in terms of real flavor and reclaim our taste buds, man, you are onto a whole new level of tasteful, you know, experience. So, why don't you go ahead and just walk us through the 7 foods?
Okay, so, well, Shari and I did this together because we did a lot of research on this, not just to help our mother with dementia. And incidentally, when we first went 8 years ago to the doctor, they said that within 2 years she'd have to be in a memory care center. She's still living at home. It's been 8 years later. We have not rid her of her dementia, but she certainly is doing a lot better and she's not on any drugs.
Right. And so they also told us that this was not genetic, that it was environmentally caused. So we had, when the book, we talk about it after we can talk about the 7 brain-boosting foods, of things that can cause or increase your chances of getting dementia. But Judy will start with I'll chime in. She'll start with the 7 groups, and I'll chime in with her.
Yeah, Shari's a very good chimer. Okay, so number one.
It's a special skill.
And cabbage.
It's a twin thing.
Yes. So we're sandwiching you, no pun intended. Okay, so cruciferous vegetables and cabbage. So this is basically broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, kale. They really contain nutrients that help protect against the free radicals, like we talked about. And so basically they keep the blood flowing and remove heavy metals that damage the brain. Number 2, leafy greens. spinach, collard, mustard, romaine, red leaf lettuce. So basically they're high in folic acid, which is B6, and vitamin E, which is also great for cognitive health. And we like romaine lettuce and red leaf lettuce, but I'm not really into kale, even though kale is good for you. But find what you like and eat that. So seeds and nuts.
Exactly.
Number three, walnuts, almonds, cashews, pistachios, flax, sesame, chia, and sunflower seeds. They're really high in the DHA and the EPA, the omega-3s, which are excellent for the brain and heart, and also good for the colon because gut health is totally linked to brain health and all over the body, too. So this is real important. And we say there's no need to eat fish. You can get your DHAs and your good omega-3s from flax seeds and chia seeds. And you can even supplement that with a derivative of algae and seaweed if you want more from a natural source at the health
store. And we can talk about supplements because we do take a DHA, which is a vegetarian source. And if we take that and we take a probiotics every day because we're talking about gut health. And we travel a lot and lecture, yeah. So we just do this up for probiotics, which is really excellent. So you can travel. Sometimes probiotics have to be refrigerated. Okay, so number four, fruits, grapes, and berries. This is real important. We've been seeing it a lot. A lot of people call blueberries brain berries, which is excellent. And that's because they have not just antioxidants, but they have anthocyanin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it exactly right, but basically that's what colors the fruit, the color that you see in blueberries, and it helps protect the brain from further damage caused by free radicals. Number five, beans, legumes, and whole grains. This is excellent. This is where you can get a lot of your energy, too, and your B-complex, vitamins, all here, and it helps slow, steady flow of glucose to the brain. Six, olive, coconut, macadamia nut, oils, avocados. We talked earlier about how important it is to have the good fats, and you discussed that, too. So the extra virgin olive
oil. The monounsaturated fats, they protect the nerve cells in the brain, and what we have found usually, if it's good for the heart, it's good for the brain. It's almost like saying if it's good for the body, it's good for the brain.
Well, it's kind of
That's what I was going to emphasize is that what you find is when you look at studies in which we made tremendous reversal of diabetes through diet, what you find is it's good for the brain, it's good for the heart. A lot of that is working, and you touched on it, and it's a big cornerstone, and I travel like you do when I get out and talk, is about that gut health and keeping that the right blend of bacteria. And you can't just take the probiotics, which is important, but you got to feed the little sea monkeys. You got to feed the critters. And
right,
what
exactly.
We eat is what feeds them. And so these things that you're touching on, so important.
We always say that food can harm and food can heal.
Right.
And then the seventh group, Judy,
is the brain spices, the turmeric, the black pepper, garlic, ginger, cinnamon, rosemary, sage, green tea, garlic. Did I say garlic twice?
Yes,
because I'm a twin.
You're a twin.
Okay.
But it's very
twice.
Good.
Yeah, well, I personally love garlic. My sister always goes, "Did you have garlic today?" When I meet her for a walk after I've eaten or something. I say, "Yes, I had garlic.
But
my new perfume."
They're all
anti-inflammatory. Here's a little bit of history trivia for it, because this blows my mind. And my new book, obviously, that I've talked about, Ancient E, just came out. So this is we don't talk about the culture in this book. This is just Vikings and ancient Greeks.
I'm so excited about your new book.
Oh, thank you.
It sounds great.
But the antioxidants in turmeric are very quickly broken down in the body. But when we look historically at the records, so if you look into Indian cuisine, for example, where they use a lot of turmeric, you'll find that every single recipe has fresh ground black pepper. Well, fresh ground black pepper has another enzyme that increases the bioavailability of turmeric by about 2,500 times. And
right,
how they figured that out thousands of years ago. Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, certainly the taste combination is important, but boy, there is so much knowledge out there when we look to turning to the kind of foods that you're talking about. So much potential to heal. And what I love, just as a very simple guy, is it tastes great. I mean, who doesn't want to just sit around and eat great tasting food?
That's right. You know, just because we're health-oriented doesn't mean we want to eat cardboard, okay? That's why we came up with seven cookbooks.
That's what you said. Listen, you know, and you weren't on the kale bandwagon like everybody else. Now, I enjoy some kale, too, but I have yet to see anyone's tombstone say, "Gosh darn, I wish I could have had more kale," you know?
Yeah, exactly. My last, but you know what? We do have a great
kale cashew salad with lemon tahini dressing.
Oh, that lemon tahini dressing is so good.
And the
kale
Wardroff salad, because, you know, people really, we'll take it in small dosages. It kind of reminds me of a tough leather. You've got to really, you know, massage it and chop it up for it to be good. But it certainly has a lot of great amenities. But if that's not your thing, like we said, there's so many wonderful leafy vegetables in the vegetable kingdom there.
Right, and we have over 150 healthy recipes in the Memory Diet. But one of the things I wanted to say, because we can tell that you love food and you're probably an excellent chef, little cook here too, is that we the way we cook food also affects our health. And I just wanted to touch on AGEs, which is called advanced glycation end products. And we discussed this in our book, because one kind of would want to shy away from frying food because and limit the grilling, the broiling, frying, microwaving of foods, because it really affects the way our body is stimulated and increases what they call advanced glycation end products in our body, which breaks down our neurotransmitters and not good for our body, and it causes us to get possible dementia. So we really think that you should steam your foods, stick away from processed foods, because processed foods are prepared at high temperatures and to lengthen their shelf life, and they're just higher in AGE. So stick with the fruits and the vegetables, and you'll be better off.
And I will give you some good free medical advice.
Yes.
Generally good medical practice to stay away from, loose white powders in terms of your health. So all those processed things you were talking about. And just before we go, where can folks find the book? Where can folks find out more about what you're doing?
They could go to our website, which, first of all, doubleenergytwins.com. That's one word, doubleenergytwins.com. On the website, they can click the icon for Amazon, the icon for Barnes & Noble. They can sign up for the recipe of the month. They can get for free. And we have Facebook and the Double Energy Twins, Twitter, @DBL Energy Twins. We post so much
right, and @DBL Energy Twins on Instagram too, and Pinterest. We're the Double Energy Twins. Facebook page, they can like us, the Double Energy Twins, and they could also go to our wonderful publisher, New Page Books, and get the book. The book is doing really well, thank knock on wood, and we're really excited about it because it's helping a lot of people, just like you do with this show.
It is. It's a great book, folks. I love the recipes in there. And, you know, as a chef, you know, even if you're not into all vegetarian cuisine, books like this are important because too often we treat our vegetables as just a side dish. And when we're constructing this, and I'm talking sort of as a professional chef, you want to put as much emphasis on your vegetable friends coming to the party as you do your other proteins. So a book like this is a great resource in so many ways. And I love the philosophy. I love the energy you guys bring. So thanks so much for being here today. Once again, folks, you can head over to www.doubleenergytwins.com. Sherry, Julie, Zucker with me today. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
And to all of you out there, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne. This is Dr. Mike. You're listening to Code Delicious on RadioMD.com.